Turn now in the scriptures together to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, and we'll read through the end of chapter 29. Isaiah 28 verse 1 through Isaiah 29 verse 24. Beloved, let us hear now the word of our holy God. Woe to the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim, and to the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is at the head of the fertile valley of those who are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord has a strong and mighty agent, as a storm of hail, a tempest of destruction. Like a storm of mighty overflowing waters, he has cast it down to the earth with his hand. The proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim is trodden underfoot, and the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is at the head of the fertile valley, will be like the first ripe fig prior to summer, which one sees, and as soon as it is in hand, his hand, he swallows it. In that day, the Lord of hosts will become a beautiful crown, and a glorious diadem to the remnant of his people, a spirit of justice for him who sits in judgment, a strength to those who repel the onslaught at the gate. And these also reel with wine and stagger with strong drink. The priest and the prophet reel with strong drink. They are confused by wine. They stagger from strong drink. They reel while having visions. They totter when rendering judgment. For all the tables are full of filthy vomit without a single clean place. To whom would he teach knowledge? To whom would he interpret the message? Those just weaned from milk. Those just taken from the breast. For he says, order on order, order on order, line on line, line on line, a little here, a little there. Indeed, he will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. He who said to them, here is rest, give rest to the weary, and here is repose, but they would not listen. So the word of the Lord to them will be order on order, line on line, a little here, a little there, that they may go and stumble backward, be broken, snared, and taken captive. Therefore hear the word of the Lord, O scoffers, you who rule his people who are in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have made a pact. The overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by. For we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the level. Then hail will sweep away the refuge of lies and the waters will overflow the secret place. Your covenant with death will be canceled and your pact with Sheol will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, then you become its trampling place. As often as it passes through, it will seize you. For morning after morning, it will pass through any time during the day or night. And it will be sheer terror to understand what it means. The bed is too short on which to stretch out, and the blanket is too small to wrap oneself in. For the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim. He will be stirred up as the valley of Gibeon to do his task, his unusual task, and to work his work, his extraordinary work. And now do not carry on as scoffers, or your fetters will be made stronger. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts of decisive destruction on all the earth. Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my words. Does the farmer plow continually to plant seed? Does he continually turn and harrow the ground? Does he not level its surface and sow dill and scatter cumin and plant wheat and rows and barley in its place and rye within its area? For his God instructs and teaches him properly. For dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is the cartwheel driven over cumin, but dill is beaten out with a rod and cumin with a club. Grain for bread is crushed. Indeed, he does not continue to thresh it forever, because the wheel of his cart and his horses eventually damage it. He does not thresh it longer. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who has made his counsel wonderful and his wisdom great. Woe, O Ariel, the city where David once camped. Add year to year. Observe your feast on schedule. I will bring distress to Ariel, and she will be a city of lamenting and mourning. And she will be like an Ariel to me. I will camp against you, encircling you, and I will set siege works against you. I will raise up battle towers against you. Then you will be brought low. From the earth you will speak, and from the dust where you are prostrate, your words will come. Your voice will also be like that of a spirit from the ground, and your speech will whisper from the dust. But the multitude of your enemies will become like fine dust, and the multitude of the ruthless ones like the chaff which blows away. And it will happen instantly, suddenly. From the Lord of hosts you will be punished with thunder and earthquake and loud noise, with whirlwind and tempest and the flame of a consuming fire. And the multitude of all the nations who wage war against Ariel, even all who wage war against her and her stronghold, and who distress her, will be like a dream, a vision of the night. It will be as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he is eating. And when he awakens, his hunger is not satisfied. Or as when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he is drinking. But when he awakens, behold, he is faint, and his thirst is not quenched. Thus the multitude of all the nations will be who wage war against Mount Zion. Be delayed and wait. Blind yourselves and be blind. They become drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. He has shut your eyes, the prophets. He has covered your heads, the seers. The entire vision will be to you like the words of a sealed book, which when they give it to the one who is literate, saying, "Please read this," he will say, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And the book will be given to the one who is illiterate, saying, "Please read this," and he will say, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous. And the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed. Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord, and whose deeds are done in a dark place. And they say, 'Who sees us and who knows us?' You turn things around. Shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay, that what is made would say to its maker, 'He did not make me'? Or what his form say to him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? Is it not yet just a little while before Lebanon will be turned into a fertile field, and the fertile field will be considered as a forest? On that day the deaf will hear words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. The afflicted also will increase their gladness in the Lord, and the needy of mankind will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless will come to an end, and the scorner will be finished. Indeed, all who are intent on doing evil will be cut off, who cause a person to be indicted by a word, and ensnared him who adjudicates at the gate, and defraud the one in the right with meaningless arguments. Therefore, thus says the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, 'Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face now turn pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. Indeed, they will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. Those who err in mind will know the truth, and those who criticize will accept instruction.'" Those are the words of the Lord. Now, in the book of Isaiah, we now enter into a new section that goes through chapter 35, where we receive the details of Judah's impending trouble with Assyria, their coming judgment. It's during this time that Ahaz is no longer the king of Judah, but Hezekiah, who is said to be a righteous king, yet also attempted an alliance with Egypt. And so the next several chapters we see six woes. The first we see in chapter 28, which shows the marks of a fallen church. By this time, Israel, the northern kingdom, had already fallen to Assyria, except for Samaria. There was still that remaining remnant there. But the Lord is making a comparison here between Samaria, the last remnants of Israel, and Judah, the southern kingdom. And His purpose is to show Judah that they have no room to boast when comparing themselves to Israel. The church at this time in Judah is in prime condition for judgment. So what are the marks of a fallen church? They are given here. First, their leaders are drunk. You see that verse 1 and verse 3 of chapter 28 and then verse 9 of chapter 29. So any minute now, Samaria was about to be swallowed. The hailstorm is coming, verse 2, to Judah. And if you look at verses 7 to 8, the prophets in their prophesying are reeling from their drunkenness. Drunkenness implies a loss of perspective and self-control. And today it can still be a problem. But even more, the root issue of losing perspective and having lack of self-control is a huge issue in the church today. When leaders are being encouraged and encouraging their hearers to go with their feelings, to listen to their feelings over against the law of God. And second, the marks of a fallen church, backslidden church, the people are cynical of spiritual things. Judah was personally here, it says, showing here, attacking the Lord's spokesman, the prophet Isaiah, saying they have no need of His knowledge, verse 9, and God's sense is nonsense to them. And what a great verse 11, He will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. A good word to preachers there, of the Lord speaking through the weak, stammering lips and a foreign tongue. Not necessarily from Israel or Judah. The third mark of a fallen church is her confidence in her own strength. They've made a covenant with death, verse 15. You read the latter part of the chapter, the people are basically saying, no one can touch us. We're too strong. They're not turning to the Lord, so trusting in His strength, but rather they're trusting in their own strength. Chapter 29, we see the second woe. It happens some 20 years later after the fall of Samaria. Assyria is now in great power. Jerusalem is being threatened with extinction. Hezekiah's faith is wavering. The first 8 verses show the doom to come, promises, deliverance. Everything seems okay. It seems after the woe is pronounced in verse 1, in that verse 1. Observe your feasts on schedule. But then verse 2, there's distress brought. There's lamentation, mourning. Jerusalem, verse 3, is surrounded. Verse 4 gives the promise they will be brought low to the dust. Verses 5 to 8, there seems to be perhaps a momentary deliverance from all this. But the prophet's prophecy was not received in faith. Even as we look back in chapter 28, verse 16, the promise of Christ, the cornerstone, it is not received by faith. And so they're blind, staggering around like drunkards, unable to walk in the Lord's straight paths. And this blindness in Judah and Jerusalem was the Lord's judicial sentence. Like Romans 1, we're given, chapter 29, verses 11 and 12, some more reasoning behind those who never hear the gospel of what is true of them. They are not saved. Even if they are not able to read, they are not saved. Verse 13, quoted by Jesus concerning hypocrites, shows that there are those in Jerusalem having received no grace. We learn, though, that there is no point in quarreling with God, as you see in verse 15. Those who say that the Lord can't see them, God sees them all. He is sovereign, omniscient, He's omnipresent. And so there is judgment promised. Judah has no reason to boast in themselves. They've been given the promise. They've been given the gospel, and yet they have turned from it. But there is a day of rejoicing. Verse 22, there won't be shame. His face won't be pale. So the prophet has outlined here the marks of a fallen church, but things will change. We see in other places there is a remnant. Verses 22 to 24, there will be rejoicing, holiness, and fear among the people. There is a revived church, a remnant for the future that God has decreed to be. And so we may be led at times to despair in ourselves over our sin or over the church. But we are here being called to be encouraged in the Lord. To watch out for sin, the same sin that has led them to be that fallen church, to be in the brink of judgment. And yet also to be encouraged by the Lord. Because as is today, there is rejoicing, there is holiness, and there is fear among the people of God. But as we think of the church today, there's also not these things. And so we should be careful and be warned that we not fall as well into not being holy, not fearing the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise You and thank You for Your goodness in giving us this, Your word, of these woes to Your church, those who do not believe in You, those who do not follow after You and have no holiness, and who do not fear You, but actually dishonor You, blaspheme Your name, for they do not receive Your word. And they hurl insults at the ones who bring Your word, like the prophet Isaiah here. Father, may we not be a people like that, that You would grow us to be hearers of Your word, that You would enable us to do it by Your Spirit, that we would not quench the Spirit, but that we would receive the Spirit's leanings and follow after Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, give us a holy fear of the Lord. Let us not think that we are better than Your church, other people in the church, other congregations, other denominations. As we heard this morning, what spiritual pride that is. For we have no greater standing before You than they do, if they are truly Your people. Now, Father, we pray for the church, not only here in our congregation, but the church throughout the world. That all Your people would be a holy people. That we would be a holy people. And that we would fear You. There would be a fear among the people. That we would not spurn You or laugh at You. But Father, that we would honor You in all things and humbly submit to Your will. Father, we know that in the church where we are, the nation that we are in, the church visible here, is greatly struggling. There are many within it that do not believe completely Your word, and so they deny You. There are many within the visible church who profess faith, and yet they don't fear You. They just take this as cheap grace, that they have an escape out of hell. And there is a lack of holiness. There's a great antinomian spirit of those who hate Your law. And Father, may we not be these people. But as we pray that, we ask that they would not be these people. That they would love You in all things. They would love Your law. They would meditate upon the law day and night, as we are called to do as well. Father, cause us not to see that we are above them, but only by the grace that You have given do we go. And so, Father, we ask that you would shower your grace upon your church and deliver us from such evil. Father, we ask that you would reveal our sins to us. We're thankful that you don't reveal them to us all at one time, as we would despair, probably. But you do it throughout our lives, sanctifying us, cleansing us of our sin. We ask that you would enable us to put to death that sin that remains, and that you would reveal our sins to us, that we would turn from them, that we'd have grief and hatred of that sin, and love you with new obedience and faith. Father, we, as we've heard here, there's in Isaiah, there are rulers, kings who were not as faithful as they could have been, like Hezekiah, who was righteous and yet also sought help outside of you. Father, we pray for our rulers and authorities over us, as you call us to do, the praying for all kinds of people, even kings and princes and authority. And we ask that you would give us peaceable lives to live on this earth, to worship you freely. And if that is taken away, that we would worship you still. And you would strengthen us for such tasks as that would come before us, of being persecuted and suffer for your name's sake. We ask that you would strengthen us now for the task, if that is what lies ahead for us. Because right now, we perhaps cannot do it, for we are weak. Lord, strengthen us by your Spirit, and cause us to be strong and stand upon the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, firm upon him, for the foundation is sure. Hear our prayers and answer us according to your will, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.